question or comment? Need savvy travel advice? Connect with Robert, Mary, and Rudy anytime on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at RM World Travel. Now, back to RM World Travel.
And we're back. As always, we appreciate you listening to those important sponsor messages as they continue to support this program and what Mary, Rudy, and I do each week. Before we talk about the power to impact lives medically through travel in our personal connection segment today, we want to share that this broadcast is made possible by Princess Cruise Line. If you're thinking about taking an ocean cruise, Princess has asked us to remind you about five great reasons to cruise with them. They offer the best cruise line itineraries, immersive shore excursions, exclusive discovery at sea activities, fresh authentic culinary experiences, and memorable celebrations. Check out princess.com to learn more and get special offers, or find a link at rmworldtravel.com under sponsors.
Our next guest is Dr. Bill Novick, the CEO and medical director of the Novick Global Cardiac Alliance. This is an organization dedicated to improving the skills, knowledge, and technology of local healthcare providers in regions of the world without access to quality pediatric cardiac care. We've asked Bill to join us today to share some of his moving stories and experiences and how travel really has the power to be so impactful.
Hello, Bill. Welcome to the show. I'm glad we were able to coordinate this conversation today.
Well, good morning. How are you? I am too. You know, the travel schedule's a bit hectic, but we were able to organize it.
Well, I know you're off to Libya, so I'm glad we were able to get this in. So thank you very much again. We appreciate that. You know, one of the things that I have to say I enjoy about our national travel program is we're so much broader than what many people think of when they hear travel show. And my point, you know, travel can be a descriptor. It applies to so many different things that impact our lives each day. And as this audience knows, we cover an array of topics on the show and associated to travel, frankly, like no other program does. So your appearance today really is a perfect example of what I'm talking about, because the Novick Cardiac Alliance, you travel to some of the world's most dangerous places and you're all about saving children's lives. So why don't you just share with us what got you involved in the travels to save lives and talk about the impact that you've had in, frankly, so many places around the world.
Well, thank you. You know, as a cardiac surgical resident at the University of Alabama School of Medicine in Birmingham, we had a number of kids that came in from third world countries to have their surgery by our professors. And there was one particular little girl from Nigeria that really captured my heart and caused me to think about doing this worldwide. She was about 12 years old. Had she been operated on when she was one or two, she could have had completely corrective surgery, but she came at a very advanced age. We were able to help her, but not cure her. So for 6 weeks after her departure, I had nightmares about chasing her on an open plane and her going over the edge of a cliff right before I could grab her. Mm-hmm. Well, some colleagues of mine from Columbia that were going back home decided that maybe the best thing for me to do was to help out internationally. They invited me. I went to Columbia. I operated with them for 2 weeks. And lo and behold, when I came home, I told my boss, I said, I have to dedicate some of my time to doing this. University of Tennessee Health Science Center here in Memphis provided me with that opportunity when they hired me in 1993. And in 1999, I was fortunate enough to have written a book that was published about our work in Croatia and Bosnia. It resulted in an endowed chair being established at the university for me to do this work exclusively. And so in 2001, when all the funding came through, I dedicated all of my time to providing pediatric cardiac surgical care and education to developing countries around the world.
Bill, you know, you just said dedicated some of your time, and now you've dedicated basically most of your time. I want people to know this is you've been doing this for nearly 30 years, and I'm sure you've logged thousands of miles traveling for medical missions over those years. Clearly not easy work or easy conditions. What keeps you so committed?
Well, you know, Mary, there's a huge problem in the world for children with heart disease, and that is the fact that being as sophisticated as it is and requiring the number of years of education for the individuals that need to take care of these children, a number of countries in the world simply have not been able to afford to build these programs or educate their physicians and nurses. Mm-hmm. And as a consequence of that, about 85 to 90% of the world's population cannot adequately cover their children born with congenital heart disease. So you're talking about a million kids a year being born.
That's a huge number, wow.
You know, from all the travels that we have done over the years, one of the things we find interesting, regardless of where we go, anywhere in the world, we encounter people, we come back and we say, you know what, we pretty much are all trying to do the same thing in life. We're all trying to get by. Have you found that that's mostly true when you're working with these families of these kids?
You know, I think that your statement is absolutely correct. People around the world, they want safety for their family. They want their children to be healthy. They want to be able to provide for their kids. And if they can give them an education that will allow for advancement, they want to be able to do that. Why is that any different in Zimbabwe than it is in Memphis or New York or Portland. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely it is. And certainly I want to talk a little bit about this because, you know, the world struggles against ISIS, for example. You know, it's made the news a lot in the past few years. And you've had your own challenges in Iraq and in Mosul to do everything you could to help children in need. So I'd like you to talk briefly about some of the things that you've encountered as recently as last year in Mosul. And I read something about the little boy that you were able to reunite with his family after you performed reconstructive valve surgery on him.
Yeah, we were actually in Iraq in 2014 when ISIS invaded, and we were in the south in Nasiriyah under a completely Ministry of Health-sponsored program, helping them to build what we hope to be a really state-of-the-art program in Nasiriyah at the Heart Center there. And we stayed through the invasion all the way until October when ISIS really started getting close. They had already invaded Mosul. They were in Fallujah. They were in Ramadi. They were moving towards Baghdad. And the government said, okay, we're not comfortable. You need to go out. Well, we came back actually in 2016, and we were able to operate on a number of refugee children from Mosul. And this little boy was one of those children. And, you know, the refugees from Mosul are dispersed throughout the country. So we get requests all the time. I just received another request today for literally an email today from another refugee child from Mosul who has been moved to the south. And we're going to be back in Iraq in August, and we're going to operate on him.
Now, Bill, do you have a team of other doctors working with you in these places?
I do.
Okay.
I do. The Novic Cardiac Alliance has a number of staff clinicians, so mm-hmm. we have doctors and nurses both, and technicians.
Okay.
But I think one of the things, Mary, that we try and do is we want to build capacity locally. So we pick places where we can work with surgeons to teach them how to do the operations, where we can work with nurses to teach them how to take care of the kids after the operation.
Right.
Technicians on how to work the machines. For us, that's a critical part of what we do. I mean, you know, I've been doing this since 1993, for crying out loud, and operated on more than 10,000 children. And that's great, but it's nothing compared to the number of kids that need to be operated on every year. So we have to build capacity mm-hmm. everywhere we go. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, yeah, it's warm and fuzzy to operate on these kids, but if we don't give the country a future for taking care of their own children, we feel like failures.
You know, I want to build on that with you right now, because right now you're connecting with a very large travel audience around the country. And if someone is listening in the medical field or perhaps considering getting into it, how great is that opportunity and need for their services and, you know, to go out and make an impact on families and societies, as you talk about around the globe?
Well, they can. They can. I mean, we have on our webpage, we have a volunteer opportunity. And they can actually just fill out the form and email it in to us. We review every single form and answer every one of them. Hmm. We need doctors, we need nurses, we need technicians in the cardiopulmonary field. And we take volunteers literally from all over the world, not actually just the United States, Canada. But, I mean, we have volunteers that come from Turkey, from Japan, from Argentina, from Colombia, from Serbia, from Belarus. So if people would like to donate their time and are in this field, we have a use for them.
Before we let you go, I know I want you to talk a little bit about what you're doing, the project in Libya that you're off to, but you've been to some extremely dangerous places around the world. Is there a place that you wouldn't go or even considering going right now, or no?
You know, I made this statement about 3 years ago that there were two countries in the world that I would never go to, North Korea and Iran, excuse me. We have a program in Iran now.
Okay.
And I was invited to be part of an American contingent of medical professionals to tour North Korea. And the only reason that I didn't do it was that my hip replacement was scheduled 5 days before the trip was due to leave.
But you would go now, I would think.
So my answer is yes, there's nowhere in the world that we wouldn't go where there are humans. Like, we won't go to Antarctica, you know. Where there are humans, we would go. The need is huge around the world.
All right.
So.
And how long will you be in Libya, real quick? We're almost out of time. But we
1 month.
1 month, okay.
And you have surgeries all lined up to go while you're there?
They're all set up ahead of time already, and there are a number of children we're not going to be able to get to.
That's the sad part, right? And that's why the opportunity is there. Dr. Bill Novick, listen, thanks for spending some time with us today and sharing all of this with our listeners. We really appreciate it. Safe travels.
All right, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
All right. Again, the power of travel. It's just more than going from one place to the other and having a Mai Tai by the pool. Folks, if you want a little more information, cardiac-alliance.org, cardiac-alliance.org. A reminder to please connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at RM World Travel. We're going to take a quick break as Rudy checks in from Minnesota for our next segment before Mary and I return towards the end of the hour. We'll be discussing a solution for breastfeeding at airports. Stay right where you are. RM World Travel is back after these messages.
To join Robert, Mary, and Rudy, call 800-387-8025 or follow us on Facebook and Twitter at RM World Travel. We're coming right back.